Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's good to see everybody on this sunshiny day. It was at least sunshine, a little cold. We can always talk about the weather, I guess, you know. But it is so good to see everybody here today, you know. Another year is almost over with. Wasn't this last January, but I guess it was January 06, January 05 that I talked on the first Sabbath of the year. And now here it's almost the end of the year when I'm up here again. I was going to keep Corky up here for there because he started at this morning, and then I just thought maybe instead of me talking today, there's a little more than 40 of us here today. It's counting our children. I just wondered, the Sabbath is over with at 4:40. I wonder if each one of us came up here and gave a testimony whether we could go till 4:40 or not. You know. But I won't do that. And get you out of here at 12 o'clock, another way that we can do that, and it would take care of everything that I'm going to say. As we sang our opening song again, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, and then we sang our closing hymn, 590, Trust and Obey, everything would be said right there for today. Because it is, our burdens are lifted at Calvary, and we can trust and obey in that. But as we know, a generation is 40 years. Will God wait another 40 years? You know, mentioned in Sabbath school, I believe Mac did that, you know. And what if, do we believe that God is going to wait another 40 years? I pray that it's not. But as we are in the presence of God this morning, what are your feelings? What are my feelings? Has our walk this year been a closer walk with God? Are we closer to God now than we was in January? I pray that we are. But are we still having that feeling of guilt? We know that we have it all, you know, sometime or other. We have had guilt. Maybe we've been able to overcome that guilt through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that we have, you know. But has he lifted that guilt from our shoulders? He says that he has, and he can do that. You know, God has a plan for overcoming guilt, and it's not his guilt, it's our guilt. And we can do that if we just follow him. Have we turned our will over to him? Let's pray. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, in your presence this morning, we pray that that guilt has been lifted from us. You have a plan for it. Jesus has paid the price for each one of us. We have the opportunity to be with him one day. We know that we have to wait a while for that. But we can have that assurance right now, this minute. And I just pray that we do have that assurance that one day we will be with you soon. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And I said, you know, that God does have a way to overcome this guilt. And I believe that, you know, a guilty conscience is probably one of the things that's being pressing upon us very much in this world. You know, it's everybody's carrying it or has carried it at one time or another. You know, many people are driven to the analyst couch to try to find peace. And the analysts don't have the right answers. They don't even think about God. They have an answer for it, you know. But sin, that's S-I-N, has been an unfashionable word for quite some time in our society today. You know, true health comes when the inhibitions are taken care of. If we don't have anything inhibiting, we're going to have health. We're going to have good health. Our repressive feelings are broken. No problems, you know. But the idea that man can live in an orderly society without any problems, without any, you know, anything giving them any trouble, I think we already know that that's not too realistic. You know. We ourselves put restrictions upon us, all kinds of restrictions. Good ones and bad ones, but all kinds of restrictions already. You know, I even try to put restrictions on myself. You know, But we're all able to see what's going on around us. And it doesn't look very good, does it? No. Another reason why God has to come soon, to allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come to take us home with us, with him, you know, to do that. There was a Dr. Ellis that some time ago said, no human being should ever be blamed for anything that he does. Not blamed for anything that he does. But aren't we responsible for what we do? Doesn't this word right here this tell us this? That we're responsible for everything that we do. And everything wrong, the wrong thing that we do is more than likely our own fault. In America today, there's that kind of increasing harvest, among society today, that anything goes. You can do anything that you want to. But as we look at all the people that are in prison, all the violent behavior that we have, and they're sent there, mostly doesn't do any good. But we know that the world is filled with guilt, you know, just not here in America, but throughout the whole world. You know, and God has the only answer to that problem. We try to take care of the problem ourselves, but we know the kind of trouble that we get into. As we're studying our, you know, Sabbath school lessons, the crucibles that we get into, and it's just not the sickness crucibles that we get into. All the crucibles, the problems that we get into ourselves, you know. And we can't run away from it any more than we can run away from our shadow. And it even talks about the shadow here in this book. But we know that we can't always have our minds occupied so constantly that we don't have time to think. We probably don't take enough time to think, but yet there is time that we have this time to think, time when we all probably lay down and look up into the darkness. And we see all that darkness, you know. And it gives us time to think, you know. But we know that God has a plan for destroying guilt. We have to follow that. Some of the basic facts which we need to consider: you cannot cleanse yourself. And if we would go to Jeremiah 2:22, that's our first reading for today. Jeremiah 2:22. I got to try and do what the pastor says and hold the Bible up. I was thinking about getting a smaller Bible so I can do it, but I'm going to try it this morning with this one here. You know, this has a Ellen White Helps in it, so that's why I really like it. I wish the print was a little bit bigger. But Jeremiah 2:22. For thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before thee, saith the Lord God. And also in Ecclesiastes 12:14. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And there's two facts there that we can't evade. I can't even evade. I cannot cleanse myself, and there is a coming judgment. And then to add to those two facts that are just read, it is the present concern of Jesus Christ right now. He's taking care of these things for us. To cleanse ourselves, but then maybe we're a little bit afraid of that judgment. You know, we can be thankful to Jesus that he is taking care of the cleansing right now. But the judgment, maybe we're going to have a little problem with that. But let's talk about Christ's ascension. You know, in Acts 1, you can find out there where Christ ascending to his Father. Acts 1, 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." But it's the ascension, and I speak about this morning, you know, as he stood there with his disciples and was taken up. He was taken up for a specific work, and we're involved in that work, even though we're here on this earth. A long time before that, God revealed what Christ would do, and he did it in symbolic form. We've studied it time and time again, and yet each time that we study it, we can learn something new. Maybe if it's repeated a little bit too often all at one time, you know, time and time again, it may start to, you know, get bothersome to us, but it does. Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews 8:5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. "See," said he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount." For this reason, the tabernacle was built by Moses, ordered by Moses to be built. And it gives us an example of the shadow of things to come. You know, Paul looked back at this tabernacle, and then he applied the lesson to it. It was a shadow of the real sanctuary. You know, we all know about it, but I'm still going to, you know, say a few things about it. But in Paul talks about it in Hebrews 8:1-2. Hebrews 8:1-2 talks about the high priest there. You know, a minister of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle. Tabernacle which the Lord pitched in that man. Christ has gone into heaven to be our high priest, to fulfill the function of as the high priest did here on this earth. You know, as we see, the high priest here on earth went into the Holy of Holies once a year to make intercession, to take care of the sins of the nation of Israel. You know, the Ark of God is in there, the mercy seat, or the shadow of the symbol of God's throne is located there. Christ is in heaven, in this tabernacle, heavenly tabernacle, you know, working on each one of our behalf to take care of our guilt, to help us not to have that burden upon our lives here on this earth, so we can be about his business, to do the work that he has done to us. Each one of us is a representative for Jesus Christ if we follow him. Each one of us has some work to do if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in each one of our lives, and I pray that we do that, that we are working for Christ. And when Christ died on the cross, the temple was rent, the veil was rent from top to bottom. The true Lamb of God had died, and the sanctuary service, ceremonial services, were no longer needed. Christ had shed his blood for each one of us, for the whole world. You know, right there is, you know, it's going to take us through eternity, and we'll never understand it, how Jesus was able to take the burdens upon the world and go through what he did in human form, not divine, but in human form, but using the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do it. He didn't do it on his own, you know. And as we look at that period, we see a chain of prophecies in there, though, you know, that started that period. And then we know that from 457 B.C., when the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem, that it would be 483 days or years until the Messiah began his work. We read here in his word that Christ fulfilled it to the letter. and we either believe it or we don't. We add to that starting date, 2,300 years, brings us down to 1844, and we all know what happened then, what chain of events started yet. But that was when the sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, the only one left, was to be cleansed. The heavenly day of atonement. You know, we read in Daniel 7, 9, and 10 about that, that Daniel was given a view of this last judgment. And it tells us that the set was set and the books were open. 1844 began that judgment. And it's written down there. And then this is the very work that Christ is doing for us now in heaven. He's carrying on for each one of us. Hebrews 9:24. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's appearing in the presence of God for us. We're not able to do that yet. But one day we will be able to stand in the presence of God. How much do you think about it? How much do I think about it? Is it something that you want to happen or not? I just pray that we all do want that to happen. But let's go to Matthew 12, and we'll see what are written in these heavenly books. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Quite an awesome thought. What sort of record have you been making up there? What sort of record have I been making? We know that there is definitely a day of reckoning coming. Are we prepared for it? I pray that we are preparing for that. We don't know when it's going to happen. But there are also other books up there. The Book of Life, Revelation 3:5, and the Book of Remembrance in Malachi 3:16. And the first are the records of the names of all who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their representative. And in the second book are the things that God considers about what he wants to think about his children. And each one of us are his children. We're a child of God if we truly believe in Jesus Christ. Adopted into that family. We already read Ezekiel 12:14, but I wanted to read, go with 13 and 14, Ezekiel. Ecclesiastes 12:13 and 14. Forget I only put the abbreviations here. I'm going to have to write them out. Let us hear, fear God, keep his commandments. The whole duty of man shall bring every work, every secret thing, good or bad. And also in 1 John 3:4, we see what we're going to be judged by. The Ten Commandments. Sin is the transgression of the law. And we all know that. We know that the wicked one is trying to let man not have that fact. Try to obscure it. He's doing everything that he can. He even uses good men. He may even try to use you and I to be able to deny that fact and have that fact cover up, that sin is a transgression of the law. We see broken homes. We see all the violence, the crime and immorality that swept over the whole world, you know, just because these 10 changeless commandments have been ignored. If we had kept these 10 commandments, what would we have today? And we know that Satan is attacking and keeps on attacking them, these 10 commandments, so that we can get confused and that we'll turn our eyes off in Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we have a problem when we look at others. We look at others instead of the perfect law of God. And we look out and we say, well, I'm not quite as bad as I thought I was, you know. I'm not so bad after all. We look at somebody else. See what they're doing or not doing. And we think we're pretty good. But even when we look at the perfect law of God, we know that we need a Savior. And this Savior is going to save us from our sins. We're not going to have to be there, but let's just go into the heavenly courtroom. And just suppose that it's you, yourself, that stands in this court of heaven. Many times I believe that it's such a good thing. And God believed that so that we don't have to be there. And how would we feel if we was there during this time of judgment? Through this time of investigative judgment. The heavenly beings take their places. There is a rustling of leaves. The record of your life is sought. And at that chilling moment, it appears like all of heaven is going to be made aware of all your faults, of all your sordid past. But somebody rises and comes to the front. It's our Savior, none other. And he says, this is my child. He accepted my sacrifice for his sins, and my blood has covered the record of his life. And I just pray that that is so with each one of our records, that his blood has covered them. And we can have that assurance if we truly believe and have the faith in Jesus Christ. The divine law says that the wages of sin is death, and we all deserve death, but Christ has already paid the price for us. He died in our place so that we might live. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them that come unto God by him. We come to God by Jesus Christ, and we can be saved, each one of us. That he's forgiven our past sins. It tells there, but also in that verse it says, now he even liveth to make intercession for us. He is our Savior. He is our intercessor. If we accept him, if we accept his death, he will, in Micah 7:19, cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And this is how he gets rid of guilt. This is how he gets rid of the burden of guilt that each one of us has or have had. And we need to make it lie there. We don't need to dig it up again. This is the only way that God has to clear our conscience, to make sure that our conscience is clear, to have peace, to have happiness and contentment. How many of you have that this morning, sitting here this Sabbath morning? With all the problems that we're having, that each one of us have, some worse than others, do we have peace? Do we have happiness? Do we have contentment this morning? But we know that there's no longer a record of our sin and our wrong. It's been covered by the perfect love of Jesus Christ. And what are we to do? We are to love our Savior. We are to love each other. And he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We know that it's a lot of times hard to do that. But yet if we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we are able to do that, to keep his commandments. And we know that they're not grievous. But how tragic it would be if your name is called and you hadn't accepted him. You haven't accepted him as your Savior. If he isn't your representative above, what's going to happen? Do we know? Yes, we do. Because the Bible tells us what is going to happen to those who have not accepted Jesus Christ. But there would be that record. There would be no one there to stand up for you. No one to be able to take care of that record, that sordid record that you may have or have had. But we know that not only America, but the world is at this crossroads. Christ has to come soon. Might not be in our lifetime for some of us, but yet there's some here that it may, especially if it comes within the next 40 years. But will our children be ready for it when he does come? Have we done us older ones done our job that we need to do to get this message to our children? I pray that we are working at that. But we know since 1844 that this process in heaven has been going on. And there's only going to be two classes of people. Those who stand alone and those who have accepted the loving offer of the Savior. Which group is going to be larger? Those who stand alone or those who have accepted Jesus Christ? It's the loving obedience that prepares each one of us to be able to one day stand in the presence of God. Loving obedience. I sometimes think about my disobedience to my parents that I did, you know. And almost every time I knew what was coming because I knew that I was doing wrong. But we know that there's a double blessing in obedience. It is the only way to a clear conscience without guilt. And if we'll go to Revelation 22:14, we'll find the other one. Revelation 22:14. Almost at the end of the Word of God. 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And from the pen of Ellen White, day by day their actions are registered in the books of heaven, and they will, in the great day of God, be rewarded as their works have been. It was then be seen who receives the blessing. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I've mentioned it before. We're going to have our names changed. There's 12 gates to that city. And with this name change, we will be members of one of the 12 tribes. Which gate will you go into? Which gate will I enter into the golden city? We're going to have to wait to find that out. But full pardon is ours, just for the accepting of it. And it should bring joy to our hearts, and it should make the changes that we need to make in our lives to have that joy. It will turn pride into humility, selfishness to selflessness, sorrow into joy, and yes, guilt into innocence. The last verses for today are found in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Matthew 10. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus is up there, standing in the presence of God, with our cases before him. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also I deny before my Father which is in heaven. That very judgment is still going on. It's still in session. When it's going to end, we don't know. But for some of us, maybe it ends today. Have we made preparation for his representing us? He's an advocate to someone. And is it you? Is it me? They accepted him. He forgave them. Their guilt is gone. And his divine power is at work in their heart, preparing them for an eternity with him. That's it, brothers and sisters, we all have an eternity with Jesus Christ. And we can have it right now to be with Jesus Christ, to have God right next to us right now, preparing our hearts for that. And as we sing number 590, Trust and Obey, I pray that we're all silently saying, Lord, I accept your offer. I give myself, my all, completely to you. If we put it off till tomorrow, we know that it may be too late. 590. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, please be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Father, that one day we may be in your presence with Jesus by our side. He will introduce each one of us to thee. Thank you, Father, that we may one day be with thee. And we pray now that thou wilt deliver us from our guilt. In name of our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.